Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Hey, welcome to Missionize. I'm Sam Roberts. Across the table from me is our co-host, Clint Ritchie. Hey, Clint, in Luke chapter 14, toward the end of that chapter, Jesus is talking to a huge crowd of people that were following him. And he turned to them, and we've preached on this quite often, and said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then he gives a couple of illustrations of what he's really talking about. "For which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he's enough to complete it? Or what king, going to war against another king, will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? Now, I think what Jesus is getting at there is that there's a cost to following him.
That's right.
And we need to calculate that cost. We need to count that cost. Now, here we are. It's the end of July. And I know that most of our listeners have got a lot of things on their mind. I mean, they may have just finished vacation Bible school. There's church camp. There's vacation time. There's planning those back-to-school activities that seem to come before we know it. But I would say that most of our pastors have probably not given a whole lot of thought to their 2025 church budget. Now, when you were a pastor, Clint, when did you begin that process of developing the next year's ministry budget?
Well, it depended upon what the guidelines in the church was regarding when the budget had to be approved.
Yeah.
Everywhere I pastored was a January to December budget. And so with monthly business meetings, you still had time.
Mm-hmm.
But the last several years, fortunately, we had quarterly business meetings instead of monthly.
And emphasis on fortunately.
Yes, yeah. And so the last meeting of the year was in October. So you had to have the budget ready then toward the end of September. So we actually were looking at it about this time of year, which was hard because you've only got about 6 months of income and expenses to evaluate for the current year. And you do have all those summer activities. And so wherever a church is on the budgeting process, I think it's wise to start turning your attention to it as a pastor about this time of year, because before long it's going to be the fall and then the new year will be upon us.
So this is your friendly reminder. It's time to turn your attention to your 2025 ministry budget.
Yay.
Now, in that exciting stuff here, Clint, in the last episode, we shared 10 characteristics of a globally minded church. So today we want to dive a little deeper into one of those characteristics, particularly this one. I think it was number 2. A globally minded church's budget and its giving reflect a commitment to global missions. Now, we base those 10 characteristics off of an earlier blog by Chuck Lawless, where Chuck made this statement: "A healthy church is committed to going to the nations." I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then Chuck listed these 10 questions to determine if your church is really committed to going to the nations. And the question he asked here was this: do your budget and your church's giving reflect a commitment to global missions?
Yeah, I think that's a great question to consider. And so let's jump into that today. And so you may want to hit pause and grab a cup of coffee or two, since our topic is probably not one that energizes a lot of folks. So maybe get two cups of coffee, grab a copy of your current budget, and let's get on this topic.
Now, Clint, many years ago, a very wise person told me that regardless of what we say our priorities are, there are two items that will absolutely reveal our true priorities. You ready for this? Your calendar and your checkbook.
Amen.
I want to make a statement. I want you to respond to this. A church's calendar and budget reflect their true priorities. What do you think about that?
Well, probably all of us have preached that regarding personal checkbooks mm-hmm. and calendars. And we tell folks, show me those two things, I'll show you your priorities. It's a little different when we look at it as a church, but the truth still applies.
It does.
That you look at a church's calendar and a church's checkbook, and you will see the church's priorities.
Yeah, and so there are many times, as an individual or as a family, that we look at those and we do this little course correction thing, you know. We'll look at the calendar, we'll look at the checkbook, and we'll see that, wow, this really doesn't align with the priorities that we say we have. So what do you do as a pastor when you realize that your church's budget and its giving really don't reflect a commitment to the Great Commission? How do you begin to correct this? What steps do you take to lead the church in developing a budget that better reflects a biblical commitment to the Great Commission?
Well, we're going to look at a few different really broad topics here in this episode. But let's start off, first of all, by just thinking about the overall church budget.
Okay.
And I think there are really three steps here that help us in developing a budget that better reflects this commitment to the Great Commission. And first of all, just begin with a picture of your current budget. Really look at it and ask, what priorities does your current budget reflect? If you look at your calendar and your checkbook, then do that regarding your church's budget.
Okay. Clint, do you think that many of us do that when it comes to budget time?
Probably not.
In the church?
No, I think the easiest, and we probably don't, because the easiest thing is just to take the format that we have and plug numbers in and try to make it balance at the end.
Exactly.
But I think we have to ask ourselves, and do this as a leader to begin with. Maybe later you bring your finance team, your mm-hmm. finance committee involved in the same process, ask them to do it. But really look and ask yourself, is our budget inwardly or outwardly focused?
Okay.
Because the longer a church exists, the pendulum will drift toward an inward focus. Regardless of how hard we preach about loving our community and reaching people with the gospel and going to the ends of the earth, it's just a natural progression that we drift inwardly.
Yeah, and once we do, when we see there's an inward drifting, that more and more of resources are spent on us and our needs, then it's a challenge to correct that, right? I mean, it's difficult, but I want you to hear, guys, it's not impossible.
That's right.
It is difficult. It's not impossible. We've both been in that situations where we've come into churches and we've looked at that budget and we go, whoa, this just doesn't seem right. You know, the priorities, you could tell where the priorities are. And we began that process. We know what that means. And we also know that when we begin moving money to missions from inward to outward, that means we've got to say no to some things that are not really helping us fulfill the Great Commission. It's not just, hey, here's the template for last year. Let's plug in some numbers and balance this thing out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just as you take your expenses personally and say, hey, this doesn't fit into, you know, what we need as a family, then I think you have to do the same thing as a church. And I mean, church is not pastor. There are folks, if they were to listen to this, would probably, you know, go into convulsions thinking about East Church had that one meeting where we really had to do some changing,
exactly.
some cutting,
exactly.
you know, to help us align. One, to help, you know, expenses to align with income, but really to help us to align with the mission of making disciples.
So that first step, you said, is to take a close, critical look at the current budget and identify the priorities that it reflects.
That's correct.
So, and if you find out you're not happy with that, what's the next step?
Well, that determines, so that is to determine where you would like to be.
Yeah.
So you have where you are, where would you like to be? And again, going back to the last episode where we looked at those 10 characteristics, the number one was the vision. The leader cast vision for a globally minded church. And here, I think if you're looking at this with a, you know, looking at your current budget, then begin to think as the leader, where do we need to be? Where would I like for us to be? And start in your mind and on paper, looking at where you need to make some changes in your budget. And then the third step would be to develop a vision to reconcile the current budget versus where you want to be.
Okay.
So
okay.
you take one and two, and you're reconciling, coming that to three. And I think that you just take incremental steps each year. This isn't going to happen probably in 1 year, let alone overnight. You know, maybe you look and say, hey, there is, you know, we really don't need to spend this particular item, or, you know, really need this budget line. It is very inwardly focused. There's not a lot of impact. So let's shift that to missions. Or maybe you just look and say, each year I'd like for us to take a certain percentage, even if it's 1% of our budget, and make that a more missions focus. So really just determine where you are, where you want to be, and begin to develop a vision to reconcile the two.
Yeah, and I really like that last step, Clint, because that's an area probably where a lot of us have gotten ourselves into some trouble.
Yeah.
We've created some conflict because we look at where we are and where we want to be, and we know there's a wide gap between those, and it's going to cause for some drastic changes.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we realize, hey, we're in this for the long haul.
That's right.
And this may not happen in 1 year or 2 years, but hopefully 5 years down the road, we've got a budget that better reflects the commitment we have to the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Now, those are some solid steps. For most of us, when we think about supporting missions, global missions, that primary method that's in our budget is cooperative program. Now, of course, we'd also point to our Lottie Moon giving, but most often Lottie Moon's a special offering. It's not a line item that's in the budget, although some churches do place Lottie and Dixie and Annie as line items, and they may even take up another offering to add to that. But Chuck said in his article, a healthy church is one committed to going to the nations. Now, when we think of going to the nations, we know that's more accessible now than it ever has been. But even though it is more accessible, there's still a significant cost. And those costs include both individual cost, the team member cost, you know, like there's got to be a passport, there are visas, there's airfare and housing and food and travel insurance, and we could add more to that list. But there are also those costs that if this is a church-sponsored mission trip, that you would expect the church to provide, like supplies. If it's a medical missions trip, you want to make sure the medicine or equipment is supplied by the church. Perhaps it's in-country transportation or you know, translators that you're going to need. And again, we could add to that list. Now, I know from speaking with churches across our state that we have some churches that provide the entire amount that's necessary for a mission trip, individual and team expense. I mean, they do. Perhaps they've been blessed with an endowment. Maybe it's a large sum of money from an estate or a will that's been designated for missions. Praise God for those individuals that are mission-minded, that have a heart for the nations and want to continue after they're in heaven blessing the church. Folks, if that's you, if that's your church, give God some praise and know this. You really have no excuse for not going.
That's right.
But most of our churches don't have that luxury. So Clint, let's talk about how a church can budget for mission trips. That's the next part of this. The overall budget, now budgeting for mission trips.
All right. Yeah, the few options you have here. First of all, you can include this in the church budget, a flat amount that is then divided among the team.
Okay. Now, one thing that we did at Stuttgart, we also provided some mission trip scholarships. We had a process that individuals who wanted to be a team member of one of our mission teams that were going, that they would apply for this scholarship. We had that in the budget. There's a line item there for the scholarships. I believe that we made the decision that we could provide up to 25%, you know, of the cost. That didn't have the whole thing, but we had some additional money that we committed to sending people because we wanted to say, this is our commitment. We believe in the Great Commission. We believe in going to the nation. So we're going to provide at least part of that cost. We also supplemented some of those costs by doing a quarterly missions meal. We had gone to a quarterly business meeting as well.
Yeah.
And when we had that business meeting, we had a missions meal. Fortunate, God blessed us to have a caterer, a family there that they had a catering business. They provided that meal. That was their gift to the church of being involved in missions, of having a heart for the nations. And we just encourage folks, hey, give whatever you want to give for the meal, whatever you would spend if you went out and had a meal like this, you know, put it in this jar. And all of that money will help to offset some of those costs that individuals have as well. So there are some ways of supplementing the remainder of that you may not have in the budget.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew of a church in Fort Ice, matter of fact, that they paid for their building many years ago by doing a fish fry the first Friday night of every month. And everybody in town went to that fish fry. They took the money and it applied to the mortgage. Well, when they paid that off, they started using that for missions. And so that's very similar to the missions meal. You know, it's just to consider ways that you can plug that into your budget, or it's, you know, gifts come in for that then you divide among the team.
Yeah, and that's a cool story, because that church could have said one of two things. Hey, we don't need this anymore, so let's stop doing the meal.
And after many years, probably want it to.
Or they could have said, hey, let's continue doing the meal, and we can use this for, you know, the building, for this, for that. Thank God
there's
a church that is globally minded. What a great story.
So first option for you is to include this in your budget that's divided among the team. Another option is to build a reserve account where, you know, that can happen several ways. It could be people giving directly to that. It also could be that you take a certain percentage or a set amount for multiple years that's coming out of your budget, out of your giving that's going into this account, but where you're investing in the kingdom. And this is in an account that's getting some interest. And, you know, it's almost like an endowment. It just depends on what the money is in there. Maybe after a while you're able to use the interest, or maybe you're using the principal. But the Arkansas Baptist Foundation can help you do that as well, just to use this reserve money. You know it's in there. It's building some interest. And people know that is a way for them to be able to go to the nations. Now, both of those options need to have some guidelines in place.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be a free-for-all on whoever just wants to go on a trip. And that's, so I think the church needs to spend some time looking at what those options look like and what the guidelines are.
Yeah, and we developed guidelines like for the scholarship application, you know, that we had for that 25% that we would provide of those costs. And it included things like this. Eligibility requirements, member of or in regular attendance at the church, active in some form of ministry at the church. We wanted to make sure, you know, that this person has already bought in to ministry locally before they go on a trip, you know.
Yeah.
We also had a requirement about some sponsor letters, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. That was only for mission trips that were sponsored by the church, not just a mission trip that another church was doing or some other group was doing, but they had to be mission trips that were sponsored by the church. So, yeah, policies, procedures, guidelines, those are important as you begin looking at budgeting for mission trips.
Yeah, and so you budget for it, you've got a reserve account possibly, but it's probably still not going to cover all the cost.
Exactly.
And there are some folks that are able and willing and want to just to pay for the rest. But for a lot, especially when you look at students, they don't have that money laying around. And then, as you mentioned, it's the cost of stuff, airfare and everything is going up. And so a lot of folks are looking, going, I'd love to go, but I just can't afford to write that check myself. And so another option is for you to do fundraising. And, you know, to give for folks have to participate in whether they're sending letters like we talked about or you're holding something, selling something, it makes the team members have some skin in the game.
Exactly.
Rather than the church just funding their trip, they have invested in this process as well. And I've seen so many things, and you probably have, and listeners have, of ways to fundraise. One of my favorite is a dessert auction. We used to do that as part of Lottie
Moon.
Why
that's a favorite, huh?
Yeah, just look at me. But, you know, that's just fun fellowship as people barter against each other and raise the price because, you know, somebody really wants an item. You know, things like, you know, hiring a student, or, you know, renting a student to do some jobs for you, you know, yard sales. I mean, the list goes on and on of possibilities that are there. But there's also this idea of fundraising and building a support team.
Yeah. We did this at Stuttgart. Like I said, the scholarship, one of the stipulations, one of the requirements to receive that scholarship. And keep in mind, not everybody applied for that scholarship. You know, there were folks who said, hey, I don't need that. God's blessed us. We can take care of this ourselves. But for those who needed that scholarship, then one of those requirements was that they had to develop a support team by sending out at least 10 sponsor letters. And I've got an entire packet of information that we developed that we gave to individuals who needed that assistance. Be happy to share that with any of our listeners if this is something that you think may be beneficial. I have had the opportunity with a couple of the pastors over the past few years to share this information. It's been really helpful to them. Now, that developing that support team, there were basically two primary areas. Number one is prayer support, of course. Number two was financial support. Let me just talk just briefly. Now, like I said, I can share this full document with anyone who would like to have it. You could take it. You can throw it in the trash. You could modify it, edit it for your church if you think it'd be beneficial to you. But just get in touch with me and let me know that you'd like to have that. But there's a five-step process that we went through where we encouraged each of our team members that wanted to have the scholarship, hey, follow these five steps, and let's trust God in this process. Number one was to pray. And prayer is important as we're going on a mission trip. It is expressing our total dependence on the Lord. And it is trusting that God is going to provide the resources necessary for you to be part of this trip, for you to go on this trip. We wanted to stress to our folks that if you don't have the means readily available right now, God may desire that you use that need as an opportunity to allow other people to participate, to help send you through praying and giving. And in that process, your faith is going to grow and your dependence upon Him is going to grow in the process. So that's number one, prayer. It's very, very important. That's got to be there. Number two, we encourage folks to prepare a list for potential support team members. Now, we encourage them to begin that list by thinking of friends and family that they would want to join them. It was like, hey, these are folks, I would love to for them to come on this trip with me. You know,
yeah.
I know that they're not going to, but if they're part of my support team, they are. And that's a wonderful opportunity as well for those who were part of the team to begin a spiritual conversation with people that were closest to them. So they would look at friends and relatives, neighbors, co-workers, schoolmates, clubs, civic contacts they had, Christmas card list, you know, wherever. but you come up with that list of individuals that you know they are prayer warriors. They're going to join you when you ask them, hey, I need you to be praying for us. So pray, prepare the list, and then write the letter. And the letter is so important. We gave some guidelines for how to do that, what needed to be included in that letter. You know, here are the dates we're going. This is the purpose of the trip. This is what I'm asking God to do through me while I'm participating on this trip. And this is how you can pray for me. And we would also encourage them to include, and if you would wish to support, these are the ways that I am raising money for this trip. We wanted them to keep that brief, one page, you know, in length, not a huge, letter, 2-3 paragraphs at the most. And then they send that letter, and along with the letters, here's what they send. You have a stamped envelope that is addressed to the church. So it's not coming to you, it's going to the church. It's going to the financial secretary of the church. And then there are a couple of response cards that we had them include as well. One of those was just a simple card that the person said, hey, I'm going to be praying for you. Or maybe they would check, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to financially support you in this way. And then there was also a little instruction for how to ensure that those contributions were tax deductible, okay? And then the last step was simply this. You say thank you to those who joined your support team.
Yeah.
You thank them now, but you also thank them when you get back. And you include a picture or you include a story of this is what this trip meant to me. Hey, thank you for making this possible. Now, what I can tell you is this, Clint. Over the years of using that building a support method, every person who followed those steps and sent at least 10 sponsor letters had their costs paid in full.
Wow.
I cannot recall one person that followed this that did not receive the necessary money to pay for their trip. Now, that if there was anything that was over, and we had people who were able to, folks blessed them with more than was needed, that money was then also given toward the trip. of somebody else for their expenses. It wasn't just money they could pocket. That's why we send it into the church. And, of course, if at the end of the process there was more money there than there were expenses for the whole team, then that money would also go into that fund for the next trip for someone. So it was incredible. What we walked away from that understanding is that there are people in the church who may not physically be able to go, but they want to help someone else go. They have a heart for the nations, and they express that by sending others. And those people will multiply as you begin practicing the characteristics of a globally minded church.
That's right. And I love the aspect that you are beginning this again with prayer. Who do I need to invite on my team? And you're asking them not just for financial support, but you're asking them for prayer support first.
Exactly.
And so as we see this, again, you look at this idea of budgeting for missions. You begin by looking at your budget and where you are versus where you want to be, and ways that you can use your budget to help people go. Or what other monies may you have that you can use to help others go, and then help them develop this team so that there's no excuse for people not to go.
Exactly.
And I believe as the Lord leads, we're obedient, we're praying through this process, God provides. And as you mentioned, nobody was ever left at home because they couldn't afford to go.
As a matter of fact, we even had one gentleman, and this happened on a couple of trips, where he came up toward the deadline for there's a deadline, you know, that we have of you've got to have the money in. He came up before that deadline and said, okay, do you have anybody who hasn't raised the necessary funds yet?
Wow.
And then he would just write a check to take care of the rest of the expenses. I don't want them to know, just let them know that somebody in the church is blessing them. That's incredible.
That is.
Now, if we weren't taking those mission trips, he would never have that opportunity.
That's right.
So there you go. Hey, let me wrap us up with just a couple of takeaways that I have on this segment. First one is this. The budget is perhaps the best tool to measure your church's commitment to the Great Commission. So pastors, here's what we encourage you to do. Begin the conversation. I mean, begin the conversation. Don't just look at the budget as a template that you plug in some numbers. And don't be afraid to ask the question, what priorities does our budget reflect? And how can our budget better reflect the commitment we say we have to the Great Commission? Now, as we learned in the last episode, there are some intentional steps that you can take to lead the church in becoming globally minded. Those don't just happen. And that's also true of the budget, that we tend to drift toward inward instead of outward. So begin the conversation. The second thing is this. Yes, there is a cost to going, and sometimes it's a great cost. But guys, I want you to know it's worth it.
Yeah.
It is worth it. I've never, never regretted going on a mission trip, regardless of the price tag. Those trips, and Clint, you could speak to this as well. I know you can. Those trips changed my life.
That's right.
I mean, they changed my heart. They changed my focus. They changed my preaching. And it was so incredible to look back and see how God used me as he was changing the lives of other people. So you really can't put a price tag on that, can you?
That's right.
Now, also remember this. There's a cost to going, but there's a greater cost. And that's the cost of not going. So with that, we're going to wrap up this segment and say thank you to our listeners for tuning in on this episode. We hope that you, if you have any thoughts, any questions, hey, send those to us at missioneyes@absc.org. We would love to hear from you. Rate the segment, rate the podcast, give us a listen. Please share this with your friends. If you found this to be beneficial, there are other guys who would benefit from this as well. So share it with them. And until next time, hey, God bless. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas Missions, visit absc.org/missions.